And I appreciate him so much. I love him. He's one of my very best friends. He was one of the best men in my wedding. I had three best men in my wedding. I had him and Brian and Derek. Those three guys are my best friends in this world. And through thick and through thin, they stuck with me. And I love them, and I love this guy. He is a preacher's preacher.
Amen.
He's a prince of preachers. You'll not hear a better preacher anywhere in America than this guy right here. Amen. Make him welcome tonight, Dr. Clark Snow.
Wow. I thought they're singing.
This little guy here on the front. I don't know this family. Don't know them.
When they were talking about the lame in glory land will walk, I understand that we serve a God that will heal. God may choose to bring it to pass here. He may choose to bring it to pass here tonight. But if He doesn't bring it to pass on this life, and that little fella draws his last breath here, he's going to be running over there. He's going to be running over there. I assure you that. Wow. Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Thank you so much for just letting me be here just to sit in this atmosphere. We could go home tonight and say, wow, we've had some church here. And we can go home and be blessed. And thank you for letting me be here. And thank you for the wonderful room that you got us and the goodie bag. Thank God for goodies. Thank God for that. And your hospitality, your great meal tonight. You are just a wonderful bunch of people, and we're just honored to be here tonight. Didn't the singers just sing the glories down? Amen. Wow. You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. I honestly thought tonight as they were singing, I thought, Lord, you could just take this thing over. I could just give an altar call. We could wrap this thing up. Because the Holy Ghost is the greatest preacher that there ever is. And He can do more in 1 second time than we can do here all night long. And I want you to understand something. There is a drawing spirit in this house. If you're in this place and you're lost, you're miserable. I promise you that. If you're in this house and you're backslid, you're miserable. But the good news is you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. It can all change for you just in a moment. And you don't have to wait for a sermon. Hey, if you need to come right now, you just come. And God will do a great work in your life. My prayer is tonight, if you're part of the church and you're a little discouraged, you ought to leave encouraged tonight. Because God has allowed us to sit in heavenly places tonight. All right. Pray for us tonight as we do our best with the Lord's help. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 1. Then we're going to read Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. And we're going to preach two chapters. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Jesus said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand. Listen to this. Who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Jesus again says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. If any man hear my voice and open the door, Amen. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. If you notice from the very beginning of the chapter that we read in Revelation 2 verse 1, he's walking in the midst of the church. Over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. How many times, Brother Brian, have we heard in an altar call that the preacher would say, Brother Justin, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. That works when he's talking to a sinner. But the Lord is not talking to a sinner. The Lord is talking to the church. The Lord is talking to the church. So tonight, for just a little bit of time, I'd like to preach to you on this thought. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with this picture. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. And we're thankful, oh God, you'll never know how thankful Lord, that we are, that we're in Your presence, and we thank You for the Holy Ghost that's in this house. And God, we thank You for the anointed singing. God, we thank You for that. And God, now just for the next few minutes of time, I pray, Lord, that You just use me. I pray tonight, God, that I not speak longer than You'd have me to, and I'd only say the things that You want me to. I pray tonight, God, that our ears and hearts would be open, and our hearts would be receptive and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost tonight. Convict those that are lost tonight, and save them. Stir those and draw those that may be backslidden. God, meet the needs of Your people in this house tonight. And God, I will honor You and give You praise for it. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Brother Brian, as we go throughout the New Testament of time, we can find where Jesus Christ performed miracle after miracle after miracle. And Jeremy, we find that the start of some of those miracles, the picture didn't look very good. If you were to look at basically everything that Jesus performed in the realm of miracles, it was not a very good outlook at the beginning. But by the time Jesus come through, the picture changed and a miracle came, and it was great. It was just a wonderful thing. And I'm glad tonight to know that the same God that we record in Scripture that performed the miracles then is still the same one that we've got to perform the miracles now. My situation may not look so good right now, but God sees what I don't. Amen. God sees what's on the other side of this thing, and there's joy and there's victory and there's happiness on the other side. But we look at this tonight and we find in the book of Revelation, Brother Brian, we find that John, he is a soldier for the Lord. History tells us that they tried to kill him and burn him in oil. They tried, could not kill him. I can just imagine this in my mind. They throw him in that vat of oil, they're going to boil him to death, and they put him down there with a big old stick and they jab him down. They hold him down for a little while, and in my mind, he bobs back up, blows oil out of his nose, and says, "He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords." Amen. They hold him back down a little bit longer. He comes to the surface, blows oil out of his nose, and says this, "If you boys don't repent, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell." He tells them that they could not kill him in that oil. And so what did they do? They took him and they exiled him to an isle that's called Patmos. And he gets out there, Brother Brian, and there's nothing there but dead men's bones. And he looks around, Brother Jeremy, and he sees nothing but buzzards circling overhead. And those buzzards are talking to each other. And they said, "Well, there's our next meal. As soon as he draws his last breath, we're going to devour his flesh." But I can tell you, old John, he said, "Lord, I know that You've been with me thus far, and I know that You're going to be with me through." So the Bible says he got caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Oh, isn't it great tonight to get caught up in the Spirit? I'm telling you tonight, if you could feel what I feel tonight, you'd think, "My God in heaven, I wish they'd sell this at Walmart." Amen. We'd all be in line to get what we could feel, the presence of the Holy Ghost of heaven. But I'm thankful tonight it don't cost you nothing. All you got to do is get under the spout where the glory comes out, and you can experience the power of God. Old John got caught up in the glory world, and the Lord said, "Dip your pen in ink and begin to write some things down." So we find Brother Jeremy, he writes to the seven churches of Asia Minor. I believe with all my heart, Brother Justin, these represent church ages. If you were to look at the characteristics of every church, you would find those characteristics in the church world today. And brother, let me tell you something. The church world's in a mess today. Would you say amen? You come to church tonight, this is a treat, Brother Jeremy, to be with like-minded people, to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Some of you may be visiting tonight, and you say, "We don't act like that at our church." I'm glad we ain't at your church. Come on. We act like this all the time. Amen. I'm glad we ain't at your church, because I like what I feel here. But the Lord said, "Dip your pen in ink and begin to write some things down." And so we find, Brother Brian, the Lord begins to use John. And he begins to write at these churches. And we find at the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, we find that the Lord speaks and said, "Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Tonight, number one, if you're a note taker, you can pin this thing down. We see a grand presence at the beginning. We see a grand presence at the beginning. It's where the Lord is walking around. Don't you know tonight, isn't it wonderful when the Lord begins to walk around? Isn't it wonderful tonight? It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Do you realize tonight we wouldn't have this kind of service if the Lord wasn't here by the power of the Spirit of God? You can have you can have singers come. Now listen to me. I thank God for these singers. This group of singers that are here tonight and the other group that sing in our camp meeting, they're there because number one, God is on them. That's why they're there. But we live in a world today where singing today is nothing but entertainment. We'll come and we'll have a concert. Brother Justin, I knew a guy that sung with a group and they'd been at our church. But I heard that he had left the group and he went and got up with another group. And I have his phone number, Brother Brian, in my phone. And when I heard that, I called him up and I said, "Hey, buddy, I heard that you left this group and you went to another group." He said, "That's right." He said, "This is what he said to me." He said, "If we're ever in the area, you ought to come out and watch the show." Listen to me. When I go to church, I'm not going for a show. I'm not going for a show. Now, those of you who never heard me preach in the back, I can travel. All right. You're in the spit zone in the lobby. Amen. I can get to where you are. But let me tell you, that's the problem in the church realm. It's more a show. We've got the laser beams and the light machines and the fog machines and we've got the effects, but we don't have the presence of God. Oh, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with having modern things and there's nothing wrong with having a technology in your church. I thank God for that. But brother, we've got to have the presence of the Holy Ghost of heaven that will walk in the midst of the church. Listen, Brother Justin, if there's no Spirit, there'll be no conviction. Do you realize tonight that we live in a world of the church world? We don't want any conviction because it makes me feel bad. There's a lady, young lady, come to our church for a little while. Brother Brian, she'd come in, she'd sit up in the risers. She's a waitress at one of the restaurants there in town. And I'd go into that restaurant after church, Brother Steve, on Sunday after church, and she'd be working. And she'd say, "Brother Clark," she said this to me, she said, "I can't come to your church anymore." And immediately I thought I might have done something to offend her. I said, "Did I do something to offend you?" "Oh, no, no, Brother Clark, you didn't do anything to offend me." I said, "Did somebody say something to you that would offend you?" "Oh, no, nothing like that, Brother Clark. It was nothing like that at all." I said, "Then what was it?" She said, "Brother Clark, when y'all get in there and y'all start singing, and people start praising the Lord, and tears start flowing down their face, and people start coming to the altar during the worship time, and when you started preaching," this is what she said, "it made me feel bad. It made me feel bad." Hey, thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit that would come and convict. I thank God for that tonight. But we see the presence of God in the beginning in this text. Not only do we need Him in the church house, Brother Brian, we need Him in our house. We need Him at home. How many of you don't have to say amen? You don't have to grunt or raise your hand. How many of you have meeting at your house? I'm talking about getting in the place with shutting the closet and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. There's a little story, Brother Brian. Here's a testimony of a young boy. He had high fever. His mama was a believer. His daddy was lost on his way to hell. This boy had a high fever. They couldn't afford to take him to the doctor. And that mama, she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And she put him to bed at night. And that daddy, he walked the floors that night. His temperature was high. That daddy was walking the floors thinking about that boy. He got off to the side of the house. And this is what he said, "Lord, if you'll touch my boy, and Lord, if you'll touch him, I'll serve you the rest of my life. My boy's going to die, Lord, unless you touch him. But if you'll touch him and you'll take this fever away and you'll bring wholeness to him, I'll serve you." That next morning, that boy got out of bed. He hadn't eaten in several days. He had been lifeless. The next morning, the sun rose, and that mama's over the kitchen sink. She's worried to death about that baby. All of a sudden, she hears the little voice. He says, Mama. And he turns. She turns, and there stands that little boy. And there he is. His fever's gone. His fever's broke. He looks at her and says, Can you fix me something to eat? Because I'm hungry. And he looked at her and he said these words, Brother Jeremy. He said, Mama, did you sleep with me last night? And she said, No, baby. I didn't sleep with you last night. He said, Are you sure you didn't sleep with me last night? He said, No. She said, No, I didn't sleep with you. He said, Somebody slept with me last night. And when I started feeling bad and getting fidgety, I felt a hand reach over and begin to just to brush my brow and say, Baby, everything's going to be all right. Who do you think that was, preacher? I think there was a grand presence that come into that house. I think there was a grand presence of the sweet holy power of God that touched that baby's life. Oh, I'm thankful tonight for the presence of God. Brother Brian, there was a lady. She was an elder lady, went to James Rivers Assemblies of God Church up in Ozark, Missouri. She had begged her daughter to go to church and to go with her to worship, but that daughter would not go. She put Mama off time after time after time. She went so long that Mom passed away. Mom passed away. And they got Mama buried. And time went by, Brother Brian. And the daughter on a Wednesday night. I believe, I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that God bottles up the old prayers of the saints. I believe that. I believe He bottles them up. The Bible calls them odors. Odors of the saints. Vials of the saints. He bottles up. I believe that. I believe they're the prayers of the saints of God. I believe God got that little girl in the right spot. I believe He began to crack open some prayers of Mama. Amen. And begin to pour them out on her, and conviction came into the home. She goes on a Wednesday night to her husband and says, Honey, we need to go to church. Mama begged me to go, and I never went with her, and I need to go just to honor Mama. They go on Wednesday night to James Rivers Assemblies of God Church up in Ozark, Missouri. And when they get there, they don't know that they're having prayer meeting. They run between 12, imagine this, 12 and 1,500 on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. My God in heaven, let's have a prayer meeting. Amen. They walk in there. They're not having church. She don't know anything about it. They've got small children. The ushers take them to the nursery. They bring her back out. They hand her what she thinks is a bulletin. And she goes into the auditorium. And another usher meets her and says, Sis, we don't have service on Wednesday night. We have prayer meeting. Just find you a place to pray. And she takes what she thinks is a bulletin. And what it is a prayer list. It's what it is. And when she gets in there, Brother Brian, she opens up that bulletin and she looks down the list of the prayer requests, and there her name is in her mama's handwriting. When she saw that, guess what happened? The grand presence of God. He started walking in the midst. And brother, when she seen that, she began to weep. And the ushers come over to her and said, Honey, could we help you? And she holds up the bulletin and the prayer list. She said, That's my name and that's my mama's handwriting. And she gave her heart up to the Lord on that Wednesday night. Oh, aren't you thankful tonight for the presence of God?
Amen.
Amen. We got to have the presence. We got to have the presence. It makes a difference, don't you say? What did you say? Amen. My Lord, we can just stop right there and let's just go home. But we see the grand presence in the beginning. But then we start to see the grim picture unfold. We find in Revelation 2 and 4, isn't it amazing, Brother Justin, Brother Jeremy, Brother Brian? When the Lord speaks to these churches, He tells them everything that they're doing that's good. He doesn't automatically go to them and just condemn them. He gives them words of accommodation. He begins to tell them the things that they're doing that's good. Then He begins to tell them the things that they need to change, that they're not doing so good. And then He tells them how to fix it. He says, Repent. You know, Rod, repenting would fix a lot of things if we just repent. But we find the picture begin to turn. And here's where we see Brother Jeremy in the church world today. Ephesus, we look at the first church that he writes here. And this is what he said. He goes on and he brags on them. And he lifts them up. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how they cannot bear them which are evil and all that type thing. And he found out those that are false apostles and found some to be liars and has borne, has patience for my name's sake and has labored, has not fainted. Boy, he's applauding him. But then he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left the first love. I'm afraid that the picture starts to turn in our Christian life when we start leaving our first love. The question is tonight, do you love Him like you loved Him when you first loved Him? Do you love Him as much tonight as you did the first day that you met Him as Savior in your life? Now don't answer that, because sometimes if we're not careful, we let other things come into place of Him. He used to be number one. He used to be number one. He used to be what we live for. Remember years ago, Brother Brian, I think we all, boy, we've done a lot of things together. We have. I tell you, and man, give me a high five. Hey, man, we've done a lot of things together. And one time we went to Tampa, Florida, and we go to a big old camp meeting down there, and there we all are, and there's a lot of things we could tell. But I heard a preacher that was preaching there at the time, and it's all good. It's all good. Don't get excited. It's all good. We didn't get in jail or nothing. We didn't get thrown in jail. But I heard a preacher make this statement one time. I'm preaching about the first love. Let's get drawn back in here, all right? He got up and he made this statement. He said there's a church, and he knew that they had an automated telephone system that would call their church members on Saturday night, because like 60% of them did not know for sure if they was going to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. They called them on Saturday night to give them a little encouragement to come. He said, well, that allows me to know. I think it was 40%, not 60. He said, that allows me to know that at least 40% of the church is not saved. Amen. Now, hey, that's pretty straight preaching there. But when God saves you, there ought to be a desire in you to be in the house of God. But now, that's the way it used to be. That's old time preaching right there. But Brother Clark, we don't go for that anymore. We better get back to going for that.
Right, Pastor. Come on.
Churches are shutting their doors on Sunday night. They're shutting their doors on Wednesday night, and they're just not having church much at all. Now don't misunderstand me. There are things that come when we have bad weather, we don't have church. But brother, if we can get to church, we're going to go to the house of God. I'm like the writer that said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I believe that that's a duty of a child of God to be faithful to the house of God.
Amen. Good preaching.
But sometimes we leave our first love. Oh, Aaron's with me. Aaron's with me. You get to preaching about church faithfulness. No, Aaron will throw this pew or this seat back there to back. But listen to me tonight. Chances are, maybe some folks in this room, now you're here on Monday night at camp meeting, but chances are that there's some folks in here that might not love Him like they used to love Him. Instead of having the Lord priority, He's down the list a little bit. When it comes, we just don't do like we used to do, Brother Clark. Could it possibly be that the picture, your picture, is turning a little grim? That you're leaving your first love. That you're leaving your first love. That's what He tells to the church of Ephesus. And then we find a little farther, Brother Bryant, in Revelation 2 and 14. He's talking to the church at Pergamos, and he makes this statement, Revelation 2 and 14. He said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of idols, or children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. We could read verse 15 where he talks about who holds fast to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, number two in this grim picture is this. We've let false doctrine occupy the pulpit. We've let untruths come into the house of God. Hey, listen to me. I should have waited to preach this Wednesday, because I'm leaving. If the church, listen to me, if the church was the church and hadn't allowed things to come into the church, and the church was still the church, I don't believe our nation would be in the shape it's in. I don't believe that. I don't believe we'd have to worry about which bathroom we can go use.
That's right, Pastor. Come on.
Hey, I said this yesterday, Brother Brian. Hey, the Supreme Court in our land, nine people on a Supreme Court justices ruled for the whole country concerning a law that same-sex unions could take place. But let me tell you, there's a judge, there's a Supreme Judge that goes beyond them. And brother, let me tell you, I'd hate to be in the shoes of the Supreme Court justices when they stand before the Judge of Glory. Amen.
Amen.
But we have, oh, Brother Clark, listen. You got to get politically correct. You got to listen. Do you not know you got to evolve? I saw this one time that a man called himself a preacher. He was living in biblical sin. And he said, God's evolving. God's going to let us by with it. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't going to let you by with it. He ain't going to let you by with it. And listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. I believe with all my heart we will let false doctrine come in. We hear everything under heaven preached behind our pulpit instead of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the world ever needs some good news, brother, it needs it right now. And where would we find the good news? You pick up the pages of this book, and I believe God would give us some good news. What's good news, Brother Clark, in this land? I've got a God that loved me so much that He sent His Son to the cross of Calvary. Through what the event that He done on the cross, I can have life and have it more abundantly. He made a way that I'd never have to die and go to a devil's hell. I don't know about you tonight, but that's good news.
Amen.
Amen. We've left our first love. We've let false doctrine occupy the pulpit. Under this grim picture, Brother Brian, we've learned to love dead religion. Let's move on. Revelation 3, verse 1. We're getting to where we're wanting to go. We've learned to love dead religion. We're more concerned about what people think we are than about what God thinks we are. Hey, and let me tell you something else. This good line right here. This is a good line right here. You pin this down. It seems as though in today's world that we'd rather offend God than to offend people. That's the truth. That's the truth. But look at this tonight. Let's look at this. We've learned to love dead religion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works. Now listen to this. That thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I love this kind of service. We have a camp meeting church, Brother Gerald. We have this kind of service just about every week, don't we, Brother Ollie? Yeah. You hear Brother Ollie, Brother Mike, every week of the world. Oh! Every week of the world. We rejoice and we shout. And we have ourselves a time.
Yes.
But let me tell you, it's not how loud you shout or how high you jump. It's how you walk when you hit the ground. It's how you're walking when you hit the ground. And I don't care what people think about me. Hey, anybody can get emotional. And listen, we can get emotional watching Little House on the Prairie.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Any of you ladies like to watch Hallmark Channel? 98% of you is lying. All of you like to watch Hallmark Channel. But there are certain movies that you can watch on TV that causes you to be emotional.
Amen.
But that don't mean you're spiritual.
That's right.
That don't mean you're spiritual. But we've lived, Brother Brian, we've lived on yesterday.
Amen.
We've lived on yesterday's blessing.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with yesterday's blessing.
You're right.
But what about today? What are you right now? It's not what you have been. It's what are you right now.
Amen.
And not only have we learned to love dead religion, we've learned to forget the blessings of God.
Right.
We forgot it. We've just forgot how blessed we are. It goes on and we find in Revelation 3 and 17, Laodicean church, he says, but thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. There's where we are. We don't need nothing. We got everything we need. We're rich, we're blessed, we're increased with goods. We've got the latest things going on. But look at the last verse. The Lord speaks to them, I believe, just like He's speaking to the church today. You don't even realize that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. You don't even have a clue that you're a million miles from me. We're kind of like old Samson. We don't even know that the Lord's departed from us. We come to church, we sing the songs, we go through our whatever it is that we do. You know, Brother Mike, there's a difference between having a church service and having a life-changing service. When we come to church, Brother Tim, if ain't nobody's life changed or nobody touched, could we really say it was successful?
Come on.
Now, Brother Brian, there are folks in church, if they got to have their shout down, if they had to, got to have their victory party, if they got to do all that, it was successful. But let me tell you how I gauge a successful service. I gauge a successful service about what goes on around these things right here. What happens around here? That's when you know you've had a successful service. When people come to the altar and have their needs met, then we can shout the glory. When folks come to the altar and get saved, then we can shout glory. A successful service, to me, is what happens around these altars. Hey, listen to me. The same God that set these old altar benches on fire years ago is the same one that can set them on fire tonight.
Amen.
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 Well, and then I'm done right here. I'm done. I had my folks say, if you preach too long, I'm going to cut you off. So we see the grand presence at the beginning. We see a grim picture. We see that we leave our first love. We let false doctrine occupy the pulpit. We've learned to love dead religion. We've learned to forget the blessings of God. That sounds pretty bad. But I'm thankful that we see a glorious promise at the end.
Amen.
As I said, we've heard this, Brother Gerald, all of our life at an altar call. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. Hey, there's a lot of times he was knocking at my door when I was lost. He may be knocking at your door here tonight. But he's not necessarily talking to the sinner. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. And as bad as we see what's happened, what they've done to the Lord in the text that we read tonight, He still loves them enough to want to come back in and do a change in their life. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God of a second chance. We serve a God of a third chance. Do you realize tonight you can't get so far in the darkness of this world that the light of God's love cannot penetrate the darkness to bring you out? Do you understand that tonight? We see the glorious promise because He is knocking. This is a true statement. Brother Gerald, when I lived back at home, I was pastoring the church there. We lived in a little town, Scranton, Arkansas. Most of you probably never heard of no place like that. You know where it is?
Yeah.
God bless you. You're blessed. Amen. You're just blessed. I pastored a little church. Scranton, Arkansas is about 95% Catholic. 4 miles east of Scranton was Dublin Free Will Baptist Church. That's where I was the pastor. And God was blessing the church, brother Justin, and I thought, I'm going to go to town. I'm going to start knocking some doors. I started knocking doors, Brother Mike. Went to this one guy's house, knocked on his door. He had a screen door that was open, had glass in it. His other door was open. The wood door was open. Television was on. He had a hutch or a china cabinet or something in there in the kitchen. And I could see them folks reflecting off of that. And they knew it was me, and they were statues. They were not moving. I was knocking, and they wasn't coming. It was the preacher, and I ain't coming to the door. Now, how many of us tonight in our life, maybe tonight, throughout this service, during the singing, I told Brother Brian this. Sitting there with you, R. Jeremy, I leaned over to him, and these guys were singing. I said, there's a drawing spirit in here tonight.
Yes, sir.
You know what the Lord was doing? And you know what you were doing? And you weren't moving. I want to tell you something. I witness this all the time, and you pastors do the same. When you preach and you know the Lord's give you something to say, and you know that you deliver it with all that the fervency and the anointing that God's allowed you to do it, and you know when you've got to where you want to go, and you know God has sent that to somebody, and you know that you lay it out there, and they do not move. You know what? If you don't move at some point, there'll come a day that you'll remember when you should have been moving.
That's right. Amen.
You will remember that you should have been moving. When the Lord was dealing, you should have been moving. When the Lord was knocking, you should have been moving. Him knocking on your heart tonight is not a sign that He's mad at you. It's not a sign of condemnation. It's a sign that He loves you. It's a sign that He loves you. And He wants to be real in your life. My grandpa, Sister Amber, this still don't appeal to me. This appealed to him and some others. He would pour himself a cup of coffee. And he'd have a saucer underneath it. And he'd take a biscuit. And he'd dip the biscuit in the coffee and eat that. I want gravy on my biscuit.
Amen.
I don't care what it is, Brother Dale. I could eat broccoli if it's got good gravy on it.
Amen.
If it's covered and smothered, I can eat it with gravy.
Amen.
And he'd do that, and he'd eat the biscuit and drink the coffee. And then he would take the saucer. They would be overflow. He'd pick that up, and he would... I said, Papa, what are you doing? He said, I'm supping. I'm supping. I never got it. I still never got it. But this is what he said. He said, boy, it's real good. And if the Lord says that He wants to sup with me, it's really good. It's really good. And so tonight I'm through. You guys got a song? Come on. Come on. I'm through. Look at your own self tonight. I think Sister Amber made mention of it tonight. This is the building. This is the house of God. Right here. You and I tonight are the church. We're the church. This is an individual thing tonight. It's an individual thing. It's not a denominational thing. It's not an organizational thing. It is a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And tonight, if you were to stand before a full-length mirror every Sunday morning, since you started, I do this. I tell our church this all the time. I go back, Brother Justin, and I've got a full-length mirror. Right? I have two rooms behind the baptistry. I go in there. I know I ain't got a whole lot to work with. And I go in there to make sure my tie is straight. It's full-length. I make sure my cuffs are not messed up. I make everything as good as I could possibly make it. Because when I stand in front of the people, I want to look the best I can for the Lord. But tonight, if we could stand before a full-length mirror... And we don't worry about who's sitting to our right or to the left, but we look in the full-length mirror and we look at ourselves from top to bottom. What we look on the outside is really not important at this point. But what do we see if we could see ourselves the way the Lord sees us? As they sung the song tonight, He sees what we don't. He sees what we don't. But listen to me, when we've got something in our heart that ought not be there, listen to me, God's not the only one that knows it. You and I know it tonight. When we got sin in our life, or we've got ought in our life, or we've got something in our life we shouldn't have, I'm going to tell you, we know it. We know it. And you say to yourself, Brother Clark, I'm just not... Well, first of all, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. Throughout this service, the Lord's dealt with me. During the singing, I should have come during the singing. And you didn't come. And you should have come during the preaching, you didn't come. But you can come now. You can come now and let the Lord change your life. Let Him change your life. You remember at the beginning of the sermon I said you could read in Scripture some of the accounts of Scripture where Jesus come on the scene before He came. It didn't look good. You might not look good on the inside. Your spirit might not look good. But the same Jesus that performed the work in Scripture is going to perform the work tonight in you.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
Your picture may not look too pretty now. But all that can change in one moment of time. In one moment of time. If you're in this house tonight and you're lost, you say, Brother Clark, I'm a sinner. I know right now, if something should happen to me, the Lord should come, something should happen, I know I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Could we bow our head just a minute? Just a minute. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I'm not prepared to meet the Lord. Brother Clark, pray for me. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. If that's you tonight, would you just uplift your hand and say, that's me. Just lift a hand, set it right back down. I ain't coming to you. Bless the hand. Would there be another? I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. You're in this house tonight and you say, Brother Clark, I started out with the presence of God in me, but somewhere along the journey, my picture's got grim. I've allowed things in my life, and now fellowship's not as sweet as it used to be with the Lord, and I find myself in a backslidden condition, and I need to recommit my life. I need to recommit my life to the Lord tonight. If that's you, would you just uplift your hand? I'm backslid, preacher. Pray for me. Would there be one that would say, that's me? Bless the hand. Would there be another? Would there be another? Bless the hand. Just be honest. Bless you, honey. Would there be another that would say, that's me? Bless you, buddy. Would there be another that would say, Brother Clark? Bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you so much for your honesty. How about, would there be another that would say, that's me? There's good news tonight, good news. There's a glorious promise. He's passing by. He wants to come back in. He wants to be Lord again of your life. He loves you so much. Hey, He loved you so much, He knew you was going to be here, and He come by just for you. Would there be others that would say, Brother Clark, that's me. God bless you, ma'am. Would there be another? Would there be another?